Hey, this is Steve. Listen, it's not too early to begin planning for Christmas Eve. And this year at the Orchard Church, we're going to be doing something a little different. On Sunday, December the 24th, we'll be having four identical Christmas Eve services. We just want to make Christmas Eve as accessible to everyone as possible. So we'll have two in the morning and two in the afternoon. They'll be at 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. and also at 4:30 p.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. There's not going to be any kids zone during that time so that all of our families can celebrate Christmas Eve together. I hope you'll join us on Sunday, December the 24th. Bring your family. Our Christmas Eve services are always spectacular, and I hope to see you there. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus no matter what you're going through today. And if you're like me, you're going through the middle of the holiday season. We're right between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and the stress levels tend to run high. Today, Pastor Jason Turner walks us through how we can cope with the stress of the holiday season and rediscover the hope that Jesus brings.
So we are in the holiday season. We passed through Thanksgiving, and you know, tis the season for family and for friends and for fruitcake and what's another F word? Fun. All right, fun. All that good stuff. All that good stuff. But you know, a lot of times, I think this time of the year, this season of celebration, can kind of create some stress. Raise your hand in here if you ever get stressed around the holiday season. Okay, notice my hand's going up with you there some. A couple of years ago, it's really interesting, I found this when I was doing some research, but NBC News did a study and found that 45% of Americans would prefer just to skip Christmas, to skip all the stress that goes along with pulling this holiday off, and to just go right on into January 2nd. It does, you know? It kind of feels like this time of the year creates a lot of undue stress. So today, this morning, I want us to discover how to find hope in this stressful season. Again, we're going to learn how to find hope during this stressful season. And I promise there's a slide that says this. But guys, this time of year, above all others, is a time where we get to celebrate the reason that we're here, the reason that we're gathered here today. But you know, we're just coming off of Thanksgiving, a time where we get to express gratitude, we get to hang out with friends and family, and have a big, big family gathering. And I hope that your family gathering looked a lot like this picture here. Everybody smiling and getting along. Me and my family, we were able to go to our in-laws in Charlotte, and we had a great day together. But a lot of times, you know, when you get together with your family, it ends up looking more like this. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the great movie scenes of all time when he cuts into the turkey and there's that big plume of black smoke. And, you know, Clark Griswold, in a lot of ways, sometimes I feel like Clark Griswold. I want everything to go perfect. And then it seems like at every turn, something else is keeping that perfection from happening. But, you know, and this is the first blank on your page. What do we hope for? What do we hope for? I think during the holiday season, a lot of times we just kind of hope to get through the holidays. We hope to make it to all of our kids' school programs. We hope to get all the right gifts. Parents and grandparents in the room, my kids have been asking for something since Halloween. So I just hope we get all that right. Hope we make it to all the Christmas parties and that there's no big arguments at those big family gatherings. I think a lot of times that's what we hope for. That's what we hope for. And essentially, I guess if we could pare it down to a picture, we want our picture to look like this. Nice, happy, smiling family. when a lot of times in reality, it ends up looking more like this. You know, we had the great privilege of being able to take pictures with Santa Claus during Light Up Elijah, and it was so neat to see the emotions of the kids, from I'm scared to death of this guy in this red suit, all the way through I've been waiting my whole life to see Santa Claus, and to see all those emotions from the kids. But one of the best things, and Darryl Wells was standing next to me, and he says, someone should be taking a picture of all the parents, because it was so funny to watch them trying to get their kids to smile and to have that picture perfect outlook, that picture with Santa that could go on all of their Christmas cards. And a lot of times I think that might be true for all of us. We all kind of hope to have this picture perfect outward facing view of our family or of our lives. But guys, just trying to get through the busy calendar of the year can create some stress. So it's my hope this morning that we can together figure out how to find hope during this stressful season. And I think a great place to start is to look back to the first Christmas. Matthew records for us how the first Christmas came about and how it went. So let's dive in together. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew said, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. I love taking a fresh look at the Christmas story each year, because we always see something different from it. But here we have Joseph. Joseph's a character I want us to look at today to see how he dealt with stress. Because, you know, Joseph, we know about, what we know about Joseph is that he appeared to be a pretty normal guy. We know that he was a carpenter. We know that he was a religious man. He followed the law of his culture. We also know that he was recently engaged to Mary. Men, I don't know how you guys felt after you got engaged in that period before you got married. I was super excited and a little stressed out with all the wedding plans, most of which my wife covered, so that was awesome. But so we see Joseph here, and he's excited. He's coming into this season, and honestly, I think he's a lot like you and me. A lot of times when we read these accounts that we have in the Bible, we tend to place people on a pedestal. But guys, God doesn't use perfect people. He used broken people, just like me and you. Amen. So let's go ahead. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Dun, dun, dun. Next fill in on your page. What did Joseph hope for? You know, I think in a lot of ways, Joseph is a lot like you and me. He wanted a good, simple life. He was a carpenter. I'm sure he wanted to raise his family in his hometown there in Nazareth, to pass his trade down to his son, to just live a quiet, peaceful life in his comfort zone, in his bubble. But that's not what happened. Let's look at the stress that Joseph finds himself in the middle of right here and see if we can relate at all. Joseph finds out that his fiancée is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we've already established that Joseph was a lot like you and me, right? I tried to put myself in his shoes in this situation. Now, we don't know the time period here, so we don't know how long it was from when Mary told him to when he heard this statement later. But guys, if your fiancée was pregnant and she told you she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, how would you feel? Okay, this is one of those times where you guys can actually verbally respond. Or I know you're sitting beside your wife maybe and you don't want to say it out loud, but I would have had to have called her a liar, or at least thought that, because this is pretty amazing, mind-blowing stuff. But anyway, like, I mean, that would make me feel, honestly, devastated. I mean, talk about stress. I bet of all the moments in Joseph's life, this was probably one of the most stressful ones that he ever found himself in. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Now, Joseph, he was Jewish, and he was raised to observe the law and the prophets of his ethnicity. And the law in this situation, the law called for a woman who committed adultery to be divorced, no questions asked. But the law also called for her to be executed, like on the spot, to be stoned to death. And, you know, that's what the religious leaders of the day expected Joseph to do. And that's what the law called for, because, see, how easy would it have been for Joseph to just wipe his hands of the situation and said, well, obviously you've committed adultery. I don't want to live with you anymore, so I'm going to follow the law, and I'm going to have you executed. You know, that's what the religious people of the day wanted, expected, but even more than that, that's kind of what they wanted. See, religious people tend to be really caught up in the truth and really turn their head to grace. The balance of truth and grace, even in our lives, is a really, really tough one to balance. Because yes, we know that there is truth out there and that truth is found in God. But yes, we also know that grace was given through Jesus Christ. So man, it's a tough, tough thing to balance. But religious people always tend to err more on the side of truth instead of getting involved in a relationship with somebody. But here we see Joseph didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace. Joseph was a man of integrity, but he was also a man of grace. And he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. You know, I think here, Joseph really loved Mary. He really wanted to see her be happy. And guys, I don't know about you, but if I found out that my fiance had cheated on me, I would be heartbroken and devastated. And honestly, I would just want to get past the situation and move on with the rest of my life. But that's where we see Joseph. That's where we see Joseph. You kind of feel that stress right now, the stress that he's in. But after he had considered this, it is so great when we read, when the authors put the word but, we know that a change is getting ready to occur. But when he had considered this, considered putting his wife away privately, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Okay, this is an angel of the Lord. You only see angels show up in Scripture when something huge is getting ready to happen. Okay, so an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. You know what the coolest thing is? Is that whenever an angel comes on the scene, their first words to whomever they're appearing to is, do not be afraid. Do you think they would need to say that if the person didn't have something to be afraid about? Of course not. Man, this messenger, this is a powerful messenger from God, and he is telling Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, where did Joseph hear that before, that same phrase? Mary, he heard that from his wife. Here, God has sent him a messenger to confirm what Mary had already told him. A messenger from God. He had a personal encounter with an angel. The angel goes on to say, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. You. Who's this you talking about here? Joseph. You guys realize the promise that the angel is giving to Joseph here? That he, this common guy, this guy like me and you, would have the honor to give Jesus his name. The angel goes on to say, because he will save his people from their sins. Because he will save his people from their sins. So here's Joseph. Joseph, who went from being convinced that his fiancée had cheated on him, to have her story confirmed by an angel, and to also be given the promise that he would have the privilege of naming the Messiah. Now, Joseph grew up hearing stories and listening to the prophets, and he was right now, here, at the hinge of history, given the promise that he could name Jesus Christ. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. We see later that he gave him the name Jesus. One of the most amazing things I see here in this story, and I want all of us to see, is that Joseph didn't have it all figured out. This is a guy just like you and me, living through life. He didn't have it all figured out, but he did just what God asked. Joseph didn't have it all figured out. He just did what God asked. But why? Why do you think Joseph did what God asks? You know, it's because Joseph had a personal encounter with an angel. It's because Joseph was personally spoken to by a messenger from God. And guys, I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants to speak to each and every one of you and to me personally this morning and in this holiday season. God wants to personally mold you to be more and more like him. Joseph trusted and obeyed, which is the foundation of faith, the foundation of faith in God. The next fill-in on your page there is that we don't need to have it all figured out. We really don't. We just need to do what God asks. We don't need to have it all figured out. We just need to do what God asks. You know, the writer of Hebrews chapter 1 says, on many past occasions and in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, the name above all names. God asks, just like he asked Joseph. And just as Joseph felt that stress, God asks us to partner with him. But you see, the reason that Joseph was feeling the stress and the reason that you and I feel stressed during this time of the year is because our relationships with one another and our relationship with God, most importantly, is broken. We have broken relationships. You know why that is? It's because we're broken people. God created us to follow him. God created us in his image to follow after him. But see, me and you, instead of listening to what God asks, we chose to go our own way. We chose to find our hope in relationships or in a substance or at the bottom of a bottle or in getting more toys or having the nicest house. That's what we chose to put our hope in. But That was not God's plan for us. And by disobeying God, our relationship broke with him. God created us to be in a relationship with him through trusting and obeying. But we chose to go our own way. We chose to follow our own path. And for that, we deserve punishment. We deserve punishment because apart from God, we don't know what's right or wrong. And there's nothing in the world, there's not enough good deeds that you or I could do to reach the level of righteousness that God requires of us. There's nothing we can do to restore our relationship with God in and of ourselves. But you see, that's what's so amazing about this verse. That's what's so amazing because we couldn't do it our own, but God allows us through his son, Jesus, to do what he asks. Because you see, the punishment that you and I deserve through our broken relationship with him and our broken relationship with each other, Jesus Christ took that punishment for us. Jesus, who was born during this holiday season that we are celebrating now, he came to earth. He put on flesh. He walked this world and he died as a criminal. God poured out the punishment that I deserve and that you deserve on Jesus Christ to give us the opportunity and the privilege to do what God asks. And you know what? When Jesus died on the cross, his resurrection 3 days later proved that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. And you know what else it proved? It proved that he died, but then he lived again. He died and he lived again. If you find a guy who was dead and now lives again, I would choose to listen to him, okay? Because that's the foundation of what we trust in. That's the foundation of our hope today. And that is what our hope is based on. And guys, listen, that's what God is going to choose to use in your life, that relationship with him, that personal encounter where you can see Jesus as the one who is our hope this year that we get to listen to above all the stress that we experience. But then look at this, guys. Look at how God changed his story. Look at God how, if you take one of these S's out, that's pretty awesome too. Joseph gave him the name Jesus. And what an honor. What an honor. Because you know what? When we have that personal encounter with God through his son, Jesus Christ, we see that Joseph was able to give Jesus his name. But God also gives each and every one of us a new name in him. We were raised from death to life. We are called, once we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of God. We have been created brand new. We are a new creation, and the old stuff has all passed away. We are given a new name. That is exciting. See, Jesus Christ did not come to make you and I better people. He came to give us life. You can't make a dead person better, can you? Jesus came to give us new life, and that new life abundantly. God gives you and I a new name to obey him through. You see, Joseph displayed the courage to listen to the hope above the stress. And the next fill-in you have there, and he radically changed his story. As we follow his example, we can see how God will change our story. Next fill-in is watch how God will change your story. And just as Joseph gave Jesus his name, we see, and this is the next fill-in for you there, that hope has a name. Hope has a name. In verse 22, we see Matthew quoting Isaiah the prophet. And the name Emmanuel is given, God with us. From the foundation of the world, God has always been pursuing a relationship with his people. And finally, he has chosen at just the perfect time to live inside of one of us, God with us. And as God has changed you through his personal encounter with you, you become a carrier. We have this treasure, scripture writers wrote, in earthen vessels. Jesus Christ allows the Holy Spirit to live within us so that as we listen to what God wants for us to do and wants for us to be, we can be the ones who change history. You and I can be used by God to change history. Like I said before, God doesn't use perfect people. He uses people like you and me that will obey and live out the new name that we've been given. Matthew writes later about Jesus that the nations will put their hope in him. The nations will put their hope in him. And through our new name, we have been given the privilege in stressful situations to share that hope. Next fill-in, and something I want all of us to remember, is that God doesn't eliminate the stress in our lives, but he gives us a bigger hope. God doesn't eliminate the stress in our lives, but he gives us a bigger hope. Guys, God wants to partner with you and partner with me to give hope in this holiday season. God wants to radically change you and I's life in the stressful situation that you are in. Through the new name that he's given you with that personal encounter with you, to be called his beloved son or daughter. He wants to change the world. So guys, when you find yourself in that stressful situation, when the family's coming over to gather together for the meal, share hope. When you see that coworker that you know is always gossiping, always causes you to stress out, share hope. Be the salt and light this holiday season.